It was a party. Everyone was there. It was a celebration. The video clip that you just watched, you know, I'm not sure how well you can see it. I'll watch it a little bit later on and see, is from the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar. It was released in 1973. There was actually a re-release of it in 2001. And I really love that version. The 1973 one, just its unrefinedness and things like that. I've watched it many times. But I like this scene, the Palm Sunday scene, because it captures the excitement and the joy of the day as all the people are going in. There is this sense of anticipation. There's this expectancy in the air. People knew that something was happening, and they wanted to be a part of it. As Jesus rode into the town, the crowd went wild. They were cheering him on. See, he was the one that the prophets had spoken of. And now he's riding into their town. Oh, how the people welcomed Jesus into their town, into Jerusalem on that day. They proclaimed his greatness and their loyalty to him. And yet it was short-lived. A week later, instead of crying, Hosanna, the crowd was yelling, Crucify him. 7 days after they had yelled, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they were hollering, We have no king but Caesar. So who were these people who were so fickle, who were so quick to switch? Well, I want to go back to the scripture that I just read for you and read one verse. Luke chapter 19, verse 39. It says, Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Now the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders, and they saw Jesus as a threat to their authority. They identified those who were out on the street that day as followers of Jesus. But were they? Were they really Christ followers? Now, Christ follower is a term that I like to use instead of simply Christian, because a Christian today has lost some of its meaning. It's so diluted and so spread out. Sometimes to say you're a Christian, it means that you're not a Hindu or you're not a Buddhist. Maybe you're not a Muslim and you don't fit in any of those categories, so you must be a Christian. Simply means you're not really following anybody else. But were those who were there cheering Jesus on that day, were they really followers of Christ? Well, this morning I want us to look at what it means to be a Christ follower. And the first thing you have to understand that is to be a Christ follower means that you realize who Jesus Christ is. And I guess in the same breath that would mean you realize who Christ isn't. I'm sure that day there were those in the crowd who were simply caught up in what was happening. Perhaps if you had been there that day and you'd been eavesdropping, you might have heard someone yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, and then turning to the person next to them and asking, So what's going on here? And the other person would have said, Well, we're welcoming Jesus into town. And the person would respond and said, Well, that's really cool. That's awesome. Who's Jesus? Or perhaps there were some who knew of Jesus through the different press releases that were out there. You know, things like Carpenter heals man of leprosy. Or another one, man from Galilee feeds 5,000. See, they knew all the surface things about Jesus, but they didn't really know Jesus. There are people out there, even today, who know of Jesus, but they don't necessarily know Jesus. You understand the difference here, right? You can know of someone without really knowing them. Now, it's easy to know about people today. All you have to do is Google their name. And by Google, that's more of a verb. Basically, what you're doing is go into any search engine you want and type in someone's name. Say you were to type in my name, Val Watkins or Val E. Watkins or Val Elliott Watkins. Throw a junior on the end if you would like. You could find out where I've lived in the past. You could find out all my various different phone numbers. You could even find out who my wife is. You could find out who some of my relatives are. There are these people who somehow their names have been attached to my names. If you look enough, you could actually find some of the times and the records that I held on Guam when I was in track and field. I still have some of the top 10 best times, believe it or not. If you were to search, you could find me on Richmond COG through these messages that Tim's been recording for several years now. My name pops up every now and then on those things, believe it or not. If you were to search, you could actually find my dad's obituary, which I read just this past week. In short, you would be able to know a lot about me. But would you really know who I am? See, if you're going to be a Christ follower, then first you will need to know who it is that you are following. Let's listen into a conversation that Jesus had with the apostles over 2,000 years ago. It's found in Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, if you were to go and ask people who they say Jesus is, and they were able to tell you a little bit about him, then you might know the truth about who Jesus is and what they were trying to say, but would you really know him? Some might say that Jesus was a great teacher, maybe that he was a prophet, maybe that he was a good man. There was actually one person who said that Jesus was not the Son of God, but he was some spiritual genius, whatever a spiritual genius means. But the litmus test, it came with Jesus some 2,000 years ago in the very next verse where we read at verse 15, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And Peter, as he always did, he kind of responds really quickly and he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see what's happened here? Simon Peter has gone from this head knowledge, this is what people are saying about you, to a heart knowledge. This is who you are to me. See, Simon Peter no longer simply knew about Jesus. He knew Jesus. If you are going to follow Jesus, then you have to know who it is that you are actually following. And the next thing about being a Christ follower means that you follow Christ. And I know it keeps getting a little deeper, and it will for a while. There is this really nasty word that we use for someone who says one thing and yet does something else. Do you know what that word is? It's a hypocrite. It comes from the Greek word hypokrites, which literally means an actor or a mask wearer. Now, if you know anything about Greek theater, then you would know that all of the actors in the Greek theaters, they wore masks. When someone says that they are a Christ follower, but their life doesn't reflect that to the people around them, then they call them a hypocrite. Now, I can't count the number of times that people have told me over and over and over again, I would really go to church if it wasn't for the hypocrites. But the church is not just about people. It's about Jesus. And time again, Jesus told people to follow him. And when he said that, he inevitably got one of two responses. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. They just did it. They jumped out of the boat and off they went. Now, Rob Bell of Mars Hill Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he says, this is really strange. At least to us nowadays, it seems strange. Why did they just drop their nets? Why would they quit their jobs for some rabbi that they've never met? Then those Christian movies that we have out there, they don't always help us out. Jesus is usually wearing some white robe, almost like a bathrobe type thing. He's got this sash that's wrapped around him. His hair is all neat and nice. Doesn't give us a great picture. I'm sure it was a lot more rugged, a lot more rough than that. To us it seems strange, but some 2,000 years ago in Israel, people literally followed these rabbis around. The rabbi didn't just preach standing there like I am doing right now. They taught as they walked, and people followed them, and people listened to their teachings. Those people were followers because they followed someone. One Jewish teacher who lived a few hundred years before Christ, he counseled followers to cover themselves with the dust of the rabbi's feet. You understand the illustration here, don't you? As the rabbi is walking along, you're walking down these dirty, dusty streets of Palestine. And as you're walking, your sandals, your feet are kind of kicking up this dust. And if people were following close enough to you, then they would be covered by this dust. Are you covered with the dust of Jesus? Are you walking so closely to his teaching that his dust has covered you? Now, we don't have the privilege of physically walking with Jesus and talking with him today. But we do have his word. We have the stories that are told him that talk about him in the Gospels. Take time to read through the Gospels and really get to know Jesus. I would challenge you, especially this week as we're in Holy Week or Passion Week, from Palm Sunday to Easter, which is next Sunday, to read one of the accounts. Get to know Jesus better. But you see, there is another response that is recorded in the Bible. And one of several of those incidences is recorded in Luke chapter 9 at verse 59. He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Are you willing to drop your nets, drop whatever you're doing, and follow Jesus? Or are you willing to follow him, but? Now, there were some of those that were there on that Palm Sunday. And they were just there because it seemed like the right thing to do. Some because they were enjoying the festivities and they're caught up in all the celebration, but they weren't really his followers. So what brings you out on Palm Sunday? I know you may not be here with me in this building right now, but you're taking the time to listen. See, the next thing we discover about being a Christ follower is it means that you're honest. In other words, don't say it if you don't mean it. To call yourself a Christian literally means of Christ. Just like someone who would call themselves an American they're from the United States of America, or a Filipino is from the Philippines, and you can go on and on. To say that you are a Christian or a Christ follower means that you belong to him. But there were some who were there on that day who had, in some nebulous way, had this idea that they were following Jesus because they were there and he was there. But a week later, they were following someone else. He was simply the latest fad, the newest and the most popular prophet or rabbi of the day. One week, they couldn't get close enough to Christ, and another week later, they couldn't get far enough away. See, being a Christ follower shouldn't be defined by what you're not. You know, you're not a Muhammad follower or a Buddhist follower or a Confucius follower, and so therefore you must be a Christ follower. Instead, being a Christ follower needs to define who you are and what you stand for. See, you should not be a Val Watkins follower or maybe a Pastor Frank or a Pastor Frankie follower or a pastor of whatever church you happen to attend. You are a Christ follower, which means you are a follower of Jesus the Christ. Then there we find that being a Christ follower will cost you something. Time and time again, Jesus went and he told his disciples that to follow him would cost them something. He told them to expect this persecution and this scorn. It wasn't this bait and switch tactic that was going on. It wasn't like Jesus promised, "Hey, if you come and follow me, you will be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You will have it all." And then he goes, "Oh, wait, just a moment. I forgot that little thing about persecution." Instead, Jesus told it exactly like it was. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, he says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? See, there were probably some of those in the crowd that day as Jesus was going by that if you mentioned the cost to them, they would say, yeah, I knew it cost something. Look, I threw my cloak on the ground for him. But do you realize that Jesus didn't come to collect their cloaks? He came to collect people. As Christians in America in 2020, we think that when things go wrong, that somehow there must be some sin in our life or that we've done something wrong, that God has deserted us or turned his back on us. But Jesus said in John chapter 15 at verse 20, he said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they did not know the one who sent me. So what price would you be willing to pay as a believer? Would you be willing to lose your job, maybe your family, maybe even your life? You understand that there are many places in the world, even today, where these things are being asked of Christ followers, their job, their family, their lives. One such story is of a man named Abdul Raham. He was an Afghan who had converted to Christianity from Islam back in the 1990s. And what I kind of find interesting about his story is that he had been sentenced to death and he was going to be hanged. And he responded with this. He said, being hanged to death, I accept it. Yes, I do. But I am not an infidel as branded. And I am not an apostate. I am a Jesus follower. Now, the Afghan government was able to intervene and Abdul was released. And they skirted him off somewhere to Europe where he was able to stay in hiding. Do you realize there are people all around the world even today, men and women who will lose their jobs and their families and even their lives? I was reading an article this past week, and it said that 11 Christians a day, just last year, lose their lives because of their faith. What would you be willing to pay? And lastly, we realize that being a Christ follower means you stick with it to the end. It's easy to stick with it during the good times. You know, when you're riding on this spiritual high, everything is right with the world. It's easy to be a follower when you're surrounded by all these other followers and all together you're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, and the whole crowd is doing it. But what about when those around you are yelling, crucify him? Crucify him. You see, that, my friends, is where the rubber meets the road. See, it's not enough to follow him on this Palm Sunday or any other Sunday, you know, from Sunday to Sunday. Because life is what happens between the Sundays. Are you a Christ follower between those days? The Bible, God's Word, it says in Galatians chapter 6 at verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In Revelations, we read in chapter 14, verse 12, this calls for repentant endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Now, I don't know if any of you know who Billy Sunday was, but he was a professional baseball player back in the early 1900s. He became one of the famous preachers back in his era, back in his time. He was the one who laid some of this groundwork for the Billy Graham Crusades that took place. Billy Sunday, he once said, stopping at third base adds no more to the score than striking out. It doesn't matter how well you start if you fail to finish. So where are you at today? It's Palm Sunday. And we've gathered to praise Jesus and to sing Hosanna to Jesus. You may be listening from your house or from your car, whatever it is. But when this service is over, when you stop listening, where are you at? Will you be following Jesus? Will you be a Christ follower even through the rest of the week? And not just for this moment, not just right here. Are you following Christ?